You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn joined by Andy Gibson to look ahead to some of Thursday's racing and have a chat about the weekend's action coming up. Mr. Gibson, how's things?
Very good. How are you doing?
Yeah, all good. Obviously, the Cheltenham Festival fever has certainly hit William Hill Towers and the countdown very much on. But there's a lot of good racing between now and then. We're going to focus on one of the contests on Saturday in just a moment. But obviously, your whole ethos, if you like, is geared towards Cheltenham. It's what your website says, anyway.
Well, it's the Cheltenham Trail, so if you think the trail itself is important, and the trail lasts from, or begins October, November, depending on what your belief is, and lasts all the way through. I mean, I probably start from the old Rowan Chase. Mm-hmm. And each race, I focus on, give due consideration to the importance of each race, both as an individual race in itself and as how it might link to one of the festival races that I'll cover. I cover 12 Grade 1 races at the festival. I don't do the bumper or the mayor's hurdle. Mm-hmm. And then I'll generally cover all of the handicaps, and if I've got interesting ones coming up through the season, I'll sort of put them in the file for each of the handicap races that my members have.
Interesting, because the 3:15 at Newbury on Saturday, we're recording this, by the way, at 4:30 on a Wednesday afternoon. It is the William Hill Supporting Greatwood Gold Cup Handicap Chase Grade 3 contest over 2.5 miles, and it looks wide open, as you'd expect. Jerry's Back currently 7-1, 15-2 Clondalk Castle, Secret Investor 15-2 as well, 8's for Maunders Avalwar and Sam Benedetto, 9's Benny's King and Tidal Flow, and 10's and bigger the rest of them. There are horses here who you'd imagine will go on to run at Cheltenham, but we're sort of at the final time that you can get a prep run into any of the runners. What caught your eye in this race? Because there's a few likely types, you'd have thought.
Yeah, there are. I mean, you've got Benny's King, who won around Newbury earlier in the season, mm-hmm. who should set a very strong pace, along with two or three others, hopefully. Mont des Avaloir is a very, very interesting performer in this. We'll come on to Mont des Avaloir in a minute. Mm.
It's been in really good form this season as well. Just the match with Angel's Breath at Ascot, I thought promised more. I thought Mont des Avaloir would actually get closer to Angel's Breath than he did, and he was fairly well beaten in the end. But I certainly think, obviously with no Angel's Breath in this lineup, there's certainly more to come from him still.
Yeah, definitely. He's a really, really interesting contender. He's I'd prefer better ground with him, so let's see how the ground dries up between now and Saturday. I think that's the key with him. Certainly last time out, over a trip beyond the one that he's running at on Saturday, he ran at Newbury. He was very keen. I thought that he was put in the race plenty early enough, shall we say. Mm-hmm. They've done something similar with Adrien de Pont last year, and put him into the race very early. He was very fresh and well, and very sort of happy with himself, and he followed that up with a very impressive victory and then a close third in what was the Racing Post Chase last season. Mm-hmm. Mont des Avaloir was very similar. It reminded me of that same trainer, same ownership.
Yeah,
it reminded me of that run where they put him into the race, I think it was something like, from memory, at the Cross Fence, far too early. He was travelling far too easily, far too far out, if you know what I mean. And I think they'll have been absolutely delighted with that run. I just didn't know what his target was going to be. I'm assuming it may be this race is the target. The fact that Bryony Frost is already jocked up on him would suggest that that's also a possibility, adds to that possibility. And so he's one of two interesting runners in the race for me. You know, at this stage, we might only get one of them run, so it's worth mentioning both. The other one is Domaine de Lille,
okay,
who I think is a double-figure price at the moment.
11-1, yeah.
Yeah, now he's been very progressive, and I'm really confident that in a grueling race at Ascot last time out, he just simply didn't get home over 3 miles on soft ground. Ballet Optic really pushed the pace. The time comparisons with that race and some of the others showed that it was a real stamina test, this race. And Domaine de Lille travelled beautifully before weakening just before the turn for home. I think it was the fence before the final one before the turn. So he's travelled well for most of the race. He's got Brian, well, he had Brian Hughes on board last time. I don't know if he's jocked up yet.
No, not yet.
He's not. We'll see who's on board him on Saturday. If he runs 2.5 miles is more his trip. Without that fifth place finish last time out, I think he would be a much shorter price here. I think he remains a progressive horse, and those two are two an interesting pair for that race, I think.
8-1 Montes Avoir, 11s for Domaine de Lille as we speak for that 3:15 at Newbury. And I was just looking through the first few in the betting as to whether any of them could go to Cheltenham. Secret Investor's got an entry in the Ultima and is around about 20-1 for that. So if the top weight is going to take his chance both here and at Cheltenham, certainly would be interesting. But plenty to take a look at across the weekend. And if you are getting involved in that 3:15 contest, then a couple thrown at you there from Andy. Now, as for Thursday's racing, we do have a couple of inspections planned at Ludlow and at Taunton as well. There's also racing at Musselburgh, Newcastle on the Tapeter, Clonmel, Chelmsford. There's action at Maidan as well. There's something for everybody, I think it's fair to say. We're going to hope that Taunton does get the go-ahead because we're going to focus on a couple there. The 2:22 is the first race that you wanted to talk about, Andy, and Heritage is likely to be a very short price favourite here, but could be the subject of one of our specials that we have on the website to win by X amount of lengths. Certainly you'd be expecting Heritage to win this head in chest, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. I think, you know, he's more just a horse I'm interested in watching tomorrow. I mean, I think he's going to be more like 2-7 or something like that, maybe even shorter. But it's just interesting that Nichols has had a few very short price favourites in the last 2 or 3 days. I think they've pretty much all won, if not all won. And this is one of those horses that, you know, give him a confidence booster and then go for something better. Whether that will be Cheltenham entry or maybe, you know, wait for something like Air, I'm not sure. But I think this is a nice horse, high up the rankings at Ditcheat. And it's more about the style of what he does tomorrow rather than whether he wins or not. I mean, it'd be a shock if he didn't win.
Yeah.
He's no betting proposition unless, you know, William Hill. I think William Hill have just done a special on the last Nichols winner as we speak.
Yes.
8 lengths or more, was even money, and he won by 20 lengths or something like that. And it looked quite obvious that might happen. And it looks obvious with Heritage as well.
Okay.
So that might be the way to go with him. But just more importantly, just looking at in terms of, you know, how well does he jump, how well does he travel, how does he handle the very soft ground, could be extremely testing tomorrow, couldn't it?
Okay, so one to definitely put in your tracker, provided that Heritage does win tomorrow. And as you heard there from Andy, take a look at the specials on the William Hill website, because Heritage to win by whatever amount of lengths it is could well be the way to go in testing conditions at Taunton. The other race that we're going to talk about is the 4:07 at Taunton, and this is an open hunter's chase. An interesting choice of race for you, Andy.
Well, it's just I looked at a horse called Risk and Roll in a hunter chase very recently, 13th of February actually, at Leicester, and I was on the radio at the time, and I actually gave him, he did win the race, but I have to confess I didn't give him to win particularly. I just thought he was a reliable proposition to finish in the places. Mm-hmm. And when he was with Nichols, he was a thoroughly unreliable proposition to win. So what was really interesting was that in this different code, you would never have thought of him as a horse that had looked dodgy in the finish before. And I thought that's probably likely to continue in this grade, or in this, at least in this type of race. So he's in a race over 2 miles, dropping in trip. It's sharp. He'll be ridden from the front, or at least he'll be ridden closer to the pace on this drop in trip. We'll see where the specials are tomorrow.
Absolutely. Risk and roll then for the 407 at Taunton, as well as in that 222 Heritage. A couple to focus on, and like we said, if they are short prices, do take advantage of those specials on the William Hill website. Plenty for you to take a look at, including Risk and Roll, who's just a 6-year-old in that Hunter Chase, coming up against some horses that are double his age. It'll be interesting to see how he fares. Thank you, Andy.
Very welcome.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.